The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
The state's capacity to house refugees is pretty much at its limit. Speaking yesterday, Taoiseach Leo Varadkar said that the government was not in a position to guarantee accommodation to everyone who arrives in the country. That's just the reality of the situation. Now, what kind of message does that send as people continue to arrive from Ukraine? Is Leo Varadkar admitting defeat when it comes to the government's strategy for housing refugees? I'm joined now by Chief Executive of the Irish Refugee Council, Nick Henderson. Nick, good morning.
Good morning to you, Pat.
Now, what do you make of Leo Varadkar's statement? Because it seems to be a statement of bald fact.
I don't think it's a statement of fact yet. And I think we should just pour a little bit of cold water on what he said. It was some remarks at a press conference, a wide-ranging press conference after the government's away day in Farmley. And it's no guarantee that what he says will actually occur. But I think we can all agree, and I'd certainly admit, and by the government's own projections, private accommodation options, and by that I mean hotels and similar, are certainly running out and indeed possibly likely to decline as we enter the spring and the summer, particularly in the context of large numbers of Ukrainian people living in those hotels.
Yeah. So what's to be done? I mean, I know you are an advocate by virtue of your position for refugees coming to Ireland. But if you were to put the government's hat on for a moment, what is to be done? Because you can't magic up accommodation.
We can't, but we still believe that with the right policies in place, there is significant capacity and potential, particularly in the context of state land. And you don't have to listen to me about this necessarily. We've done a lot of work over the last 10 months around this. But, for example, in December, Catherine Day, who's a very senior Irish civil servant, David O'Donoghue, who led our Good Friday negotiations, recommended, for example, as experts to Minister Roderick O'Gorman, they advocated using emergency powers and the provision of a large capital budget to build state-owned accommodation on state land.
To get back to the chase, because I'm conscious of listeners who'll be saying, but we have Irish people who are on housing lists for the councils who are living in hotels at the moment, and no one has ever said, do this for them. It's only because we have refugees coming in from other jurisdictions for whom we should do it. And that's where they find maybe the difficulty. A housing emergency for our own people, compounded by a housing emergency for the refugees. Why put the refugees first?
Well, we're not putting the refugees first at all. And there is a government strategy for housing for all. It has its critics. And we very much recognise there's a housing emergency in this country, and we work in partnership and support a broad movement for a better housing provision for all people in the state, particularly people who've been on the housing list for such a long time. What we are recommending is that in the particular circumstances of a war, on a very serious war that's deteriorating on our doorstep, there will be a requirement to develop new and very urgent policies.
Yeah.
And as I say, focusing on state land.
Realistically, Nick, hang on. We're told that at the end of March, and maybe even before, many hotels will have run out of contracts and they say, we want our resource back for our own customers. So state land, state assets, that's not going to be achieved in 2 months.
I'd certainly think that that's why we need a huge ramping up and change of gear of our approach. We take no solace in this, but we have been recommending, as have others, to government that this precipice of March, as accommodations return back to the tourist trade, has been on the horizon. It's getting much, much closer. There will be challenges over the coming months. There's no doubt about that. But if we make the right decisions now, we can, we believe, ease some of the problems that will be coming down the track.
So, again, practically, where is this accommodation to be magicked up in less than 2 months? I mean, are we talking about old army barracks? Are we talking about derelict schools, boarding schools that have been abandoned by orders? I mean, where are these 8,000 places to come from?
it's not going to be easier. I recognize that, but there is around, I think, around 17,000 hectares of zoned land, public or private, in the state.
I mean, zoned land is fine, but it does take time to build. We have to find the builders to build. Number one, there's a shortage, which we'll be talking about in these sectors later on. But you have to find builders. You've got to, even if you have emergency planning and so on, you can't just magic them up in 2 months.
It wouldn't be magicked up. There would have to be a plan, and that's why we need resources. We need all the levers of the state being turned on to allow this to happen. And we need an all-of-government approach. The Department of Children have been doing a huge amount of work on this issue, but it's pretty clear to all that they're now saturated. They're at capacity. They were at capacity the middle of last year. And that you need other government departments to take this forward.
Yeah. Now, in terms of the accommodation that could be created quickly, I was looking at that film, The Swimmers, about the Bardini sisters who swam to the island of Lesbos, effectively, a lot of the way. But it did show in that movie the German accommodation for refugees at the time of the Syrian crisis. And, you know, huge warehouse with the erection of stud walls, maybe 2 meters high, cubicle-type accommodation with curtains on the doors. Is that where we're heading in order to create accommodation quickly?
I haven't seen the film, so I can't comment on
it. Well, you know the kind of accommodation
I know what you're talking about. And we do have that type of accommodation already in the States. For example, the accommodation in East Wall is quite similar to that. I think there is a way that we can provide quickly, very urgently, large-scale accommodation. It's not homes. It's not housing for perpetuity. It's accommodation for people who are fleeing a war in Ukraine and elsewhere.
Now, the last thing I have to ask you about, Nick, and we're running out of time, is about the perception that we're a soft touch. People coming from Georgia, people coming from Albania, people coming from other places who are effectively economic migrants, and maybe we should get our visa system in order so they can come and work if that's what they want to do. But whether or not we're doing too much of the heavy lifting, France has added 0.1% to its population with Ukrainian refugees. We have added a remarkable over 1% to our population in the past year with Ukrainian refugees. Are we doing more maybe than we should be doing, and others should do more of the heavy lifting?
We may be doing more than France, but we're certainly not doing more than many other countries, either in the European Union or elsewhere. Poland, Romania, Moldova, Slovakia, countries I think we can all agree have fewer resources than Ireland, are accommodating many more, probably double each, the number of refugees from Ukraine. Other countries around the world, Jordan, Lebanon, Pakistan, are accommodating many, it's not even comparable, the number of people that they're supporting compared to Ireland. No doubt other European Union countries, and I think you're right to point out France, could be doing a lot more. But I think we should be taking stock on the fact that we are a relatively wealthy country, one of the most wealthy in the European Union. We are in challenging circumstances, but let's remember the context. Very serious and deteriorating.
Yeah, but those refugees who are compounding the problems coming from places where there is no political crisis, where there is no war, and they come, strangely enough, to Ireland to seek asylum. I'm talking about Albania. I'm talking about Georgia. They are the two countries most specifically that have been mentioned. There may be others. Why are they coming here?
Well, they're coming here for a better life, and we don't know. And I would be very, very cautious on the idea that we can instantly dismiss the fact that they may be refugees. Refugee status determination is individual. Right. It considers somebody's personal circumstances.
Do you ever consider the possibility, Nick, that we might be a soft touch or perceived as such?
No, I don't. I don't. You know, we work day to day in the refugee status determination process. I'd have colleagues who are going to the International Protection Office this week. It's not a soft touch. It's there's a very stringent process that has actually become more stringent in December. It's become harder to get legal aid, for example, legal and support.
I tell you what the issues for many people is. People get on a plane and land in Dublin Airport and they've no papers when they get there. You can't get on a plane without papers. And, you know, clearly there's something afoot there. when people are, it appears, bent to deceive the authorities.
But they're not. Yeah, it's there is no other way to travel. It's not as if we can get a refugee.
You've got to have papers to get on. You've got to have papers to get on the plane.
Sure, but there's no other way to travel but having to use a document. Somebody
and then that document goes missing by the time you reach immigration. Come on.
As I say, Pat, there is no visa to travel to Ireland to seek refugee status.
Yeah, but you've got papers. You've got to have papers to fly, Nick. Okay, look, we've run over time and I have to leave it there. But my thanks very much for joining us. That's Nick Henderson, who's the chief executive of the Irish Refugee Council.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance.
Weekdays at 9 a.m. on News Talk.